Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And I'm Franz.
And today we have with us Jerry Mills. Welcome, Jerry.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, Jerry is a physician, so you are a doctor. And
yes.
Yes, and you're also a Reiki teacher and a practitioner. And an author. You have a Reiki book as well. So we've got lots of things to ask you about today. I think we'd like to start off just finding out about how you actually got into Reiki in the first place.
Well, when I was a teenager, I started reading science fiction and fantasy books that basically recreated ancient Celtic society. And all through veterinary school and medical school and residency training, my dream world was sort of escaping into this place where healing was possible, and I didn't really believe that I could do it in this lifetime. And then I moved to Tucson, Arizona, and I had a class on creativity that was taught by a woman with a PhD in psychology, and she just happened to mention that she could channel healing energy from the universe through her hands and help other people. And I just lit up when I heard that. I thought, my God, I've been dreaming about this my whole life. And I asked her to teach me, and she said, yeah. And she didn't, but I was meditating and using a meditation from Shakti Gawain's book, Creative Visualizations, where you run healing energy through your body and out, and then out the top of your head just to clear yourself. And one day when I was working with a labor patient who was a young 15-year-old girl who was totally out of control, I couldn't get her to calm down, and so I held her hand and started teaching her how to breathe the way we would in meditation. Only without planning to do so, I lapsed into this meditation and somehow changed it so that I was running energy through my body, into my arm, and then into this little girl, and she became calm and still and had a wonderful delivery. And I told my friend about it, and after that she said, well, now you don't need me to teach you. And I used those methods for over a year with some success, but sometimes they left me exhausted. And as you both know, Reiki comes through you as if you're a clear funnel and it never depletes you. So there was still something missing. And then one day I had a patient who had a necklace with some symbols on her neck. And I happened to notice it and I said, my, that looks powerful. And she got this little smile and she told me that she did hands-on healing. And I told her about my experiences of the previous year using this energy channeling technique that I had come about by accident. And she smiled and she said, what I do will make what you do work better. And she was a Reiki master. And it's true, because once I learned Reiki, the work became completely effortless and much more powerful than the energy techniques that I had learned on my own. So that was the beginning.
Do you feel that the reason for that is that you were given a practice to work within? I think that that can give you the confidence as well, can't it, to move ahead and to have a better understanding of how energy works?
Well, my sense has always been that when there's a need, Spirit has provided the knowledge, whether it's the original channeling I did or Reiki or other modalities, shamanic-type healing modalities that I've learned since then. Just believing that it's possible and knowing that I needed to do it somehow made me able to. And I think that's true of most of us who are accomplished healers.
When you learned Reiki, when did you start to really practice that in hospitals and actually as well trying to explain that to your patients, and were they open to that?
Well, I used it immediately, but for a long time I didn't tell people what I was doing because I was afraid I'd lose my job. But finally the day came when Spirit basically said I had to come out of the closet. And once again, I had a young girl in labor who was having problems. Now, this young woman named Maria had been through prenatal care and Lamaze with her mother and her aunt as her support system, and she was determined to have natural childbirth. But when I came on call, she'd already been in the hospital being taken care of by my partner for about 6 hours. She'd been contracting all night, and she was not dilating any more than she was when she was first admitted to the hospital. And when I checked her, the baby was so huge, I didn't think she could even have a natural delivery. And I told her that I thought that we needed to do some medical interventions, basically something for pain control and a medication to make the contraction stronger to even get her to have a possibility of a vaginal delivery. And she was adamantly against that. She said, no, I went through Lamaze. I'm having natural childbirth. And, you know, my hands were tied. I had nothing in my arsenal of Western medicine that could help this young woman. So at that point, I came out of the closet, and I said, well, I learned this thing called Reiki, and it may help you to relax and help get rid of the pain, but the only thing I can guarantee is that it will cause no harm. Well, her face just lit up, and she said, oh, yes. My grandma used to do hands-on healing when I was a little girl. I'd love for you to use your hands to take away the pain. And so I gave this young woman a Reiki treatment. It was the first time that I openly gave a complete Reiki treatment in the hospital. And within about an hour after the treatment, she was fully dilated and she began pushing. Normally it would take about 2 hours to push out a first baby, but this little girl pushed for 45 minutes and without even needing an episiotomy, pushed out a baby that weighed 10 pounds and 12 ounces. So after that, I offered it to every single surgery patient and every obstetric patient I took care of. And only one patient ever refused. And it was because she didn't want to relax. She was taking care of her other children while she was laboring with the third. But it was just amazing how receptive people were. And labors were shorter. My C-section rate went down to almost nothing. And surgery patients were going home a day or two sooner than my partner's patients who were doing the same kind of operations. So it became something that was just too important to be quiet about.
That's very exciting. The other staff, how did they react to that?
You know, I think the reason I've gotten away with this all these years is that I've never tried to shove my ideas down somebody's throat. I've always just made it available as sort of, this is who I am, and I'm happy to offer it to you, but if you don't want it, then I would back off respectfully. And staff ultimately had me giving them little sample treatments, and I think the best way to convince somebody that Reiki is valuable is to give them a 5-minute treatment and fix their owies. And more of the nurses I worked with, and ultimately many of the doctors as well, had little sample treatments and began seeing the validity of Reiki as a healing practice. And then they'd also see the results in my patients. Now, you know, occasionally somebody talked behind my back, or, and at least at one occasion I was aware of, something rather negative to one of my patients. After I had worked with her and helped her get through her labor with a lot of ease, the nurse went up to her with her hands on her hips, and she said, well, I hope you weren't offended by what she did. That's not the standard of care in this facility. And the patient, who also happened to be a good friend of mine, told me that she looked back at the nurse and said, well, it should be the standard of care. So, you know, now I work as an emergency room physician in multiple different hospitals, and I've introduced Reiki to 6 different hospitals in the last year to the staff. And the one where I work the most, I have actually given Reiki treatments to both of the doctors on staff there. It's a small town hospital, to the children of one of the doctors, the wife of the other, and to, I think, every single nurse and the people from also the radiology and occupational therapy departments. And the hospital, after hearing of the dramatic results with one Parkinson's patient who I happened to give a treatment to, have now offered to pay for the nurses to take Reiki classes. And I never went out and said, I do something that's better than what you do. Let me teach you. I just very gently offered it. And because I was non-confrontational, I've never had any resistance bringing it into places. And I think that's really the key in starting a program, and bringing it in gently and not insulting the powers that be or the practices that are already there. and realizing that we can bring tools from both the Western and Eastern schools of medicine together very effectively, as long as we don't judge either one.
I'd just like to go back to when you started doing this, because you would have had to have told, at some point you did start telling your patients that apart from being a physician, you were also practicing Reiki. How did you go about offering that to them?
Actually, after the little girl I told you about with the 10-pound, 12-ounce baby, I simply offered it to every single labor patient. You know, I'd have them settled in the room, and I would say, by the way, I recently learned this thing called Reiki. It's a healing art, and I've seen it help people to have an easier labor. It helps increase relaxation, and sometimes it helps with pain control. The only thing I can guarantee is that it will cause no harm, but if you'd like to see what it feels like, I would be happy to give you a treatment now. And as I said, in the probably several hundred patients I offered it to in those days, only one patient ever refused, and it was not because of religious reasons, and it was not for ethnic reasons. It was simply this very hyper lady who had her two young boys with her and said, I can't relax. I have to take care of these two while I'm having their baby brother. So,
and
I
how
think
do you...
it's all in how you present it, as long as it's not threatening. I do this thing called Reiki. It's been known to help relieve pain and improve relaxation. And the only thing I can guarantee it will do is that it will cause no harm. But if you'd like a sample, I'll be glad to give you one now. And that's how I introduce it, that simply. If they ask more questions, I tell them. And very often, while I'm giving the treatment, I'll start talking about the history of Reiki and tell them healing stories, or whatever seems appropriate in terms of teaching the people who are in the room at that time. But the introduction is that simple, and that's why I get away with it, Bronwyn, because I don't do it with fanfare. And I think when people start trying to make it into a big controversial program, that's what it becomes.
I think so, too. And I think the more whistles and bells we put on it, the more I think off-putting it will be for people to actually receive it.
Yeah, you know, when it's like no more dramatic than breathing for me. And that's pretty much how I present it to my patients. You know, this is who I am. I will give you medicine as appropriate, but this may help also. Would you like some?
Yeah.
And they say, sure, why not? I don't challenge their belief system. I don't tell them that it's against any of their beliefs, which it's not. It's just love. And you know, as long as you just offer it gently, people usually say sure.
How are you going with getting it into the emergency wards? How are you using it in those situations?
Well, you know, if a patient's unconscious, then basically, or in critical condition, like someone who's come in with a heart attack, when I'm taking my medical history, I just put one hand on them. You know, the one thing that makes me feel safe in doing this is the knowledge that basically, when you're a Reiki practitioner, you are a funnel between the universe and the recipient. But if they don't want the energy, they won't receive it. So I don't do any techniques that would actively pump energy from my body into them. I merely act as a funnel so that they can draw what they need through me. And if they're in critical condition, I'm not going to give them a little speech about Reiki. I'm just going to keep my hand on them. And usually if I have to leave the room, they'll say, oh, Dr. Mills, I feel better when you're here. Can you just hold my hand? And then, you know, if it's a situation where they're conscious and stable enough to understand, then I will talk to them about it and ask them if they'd like a treatment. But if somebody is dropping their blood pressure or having an acute heart attack, I just put my hand there and let spirit and the patient's spirit decide what should come through me and what shouldn't.
Bringing it into the hospitals sounds fantastic. And I'm just wondering about how you go. Obviously, you do have support in the hospitals that you're working with. And it sounds like that's because you are doing it in a very, as you say, simple manner. What I'm wondering is, if you keep proceeding with this, How will all your practitioners or the people who work in the hospital who can do Reiki and will eventually be able to do Reiki, how will they actually find the time, do you think, to be able to do that? I've never worked in a hospital, and whenever you see these dramas on television, everyone looks very, very busy. So how would you go about that? Is the hospital, do you think, willing to allow the extra time for people to do Reiki and to spend that time with the patients?
I think there's more of an issue in big city hospitals. Right now I'm working in rural hospitals in small emergency rooms where there often is a lot more time to spend one-on-one with patients. And clearly obstetrics is a field where you're spending a lot of time with your patient while she's laboring. So, you know, I was always holding the patient's hand anyhow, and so are the nurses who are normally in the labor room with the patients, even if the doctor's not there. So it's just a matter of allowing the energy to flow, or, you know, offering the option to the patient by the nurse who's physically there anyhow. In intensive care, the nurse is physically present for a fair amount of time looking at monitors and just being with the patient. So it doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of extra time. It doesn't have to be a formal treatment with hand positions X, Y, and Z to treat a specific condition. You know, if energy can travel from my hands to my friend who's 3,000 miles away and has a headache, then certainly laying your hand on a patient's shoulder while you're chatting with them can get to his heart if that's where it needs to be. You know, you don't have to be formal about it, and I think that's what's so beautiful about this energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that makes me a bit of a rebel to some people who think that hand positions are what make Reiki, because I don't believe that at all.
I don't think so either. I think when we only focus on the hands, then actually we limit ourselves, because not only comes energy from your hands, but from your whole being.
Yeah.
And so when we really be with the client or patients or whoever it is, then that healing goes on a much deeper level. I completely agree with it, yeah. Talking about the different illnesses, you talked about Parkinson's. What kind of experiences did you have with that?
Oh, that was actually the turning point in the hospital where I'm working now. It started with an elderly man with terminal Parkinson's disease who I admitted because he'd fallen down about 10 times that day and his wife couldn't take care of him at home anymore. And he stayed in the hospital, went to the neurologist and had his meds adjusted. And I went home and then came back a few days later because I work, as I said, as a visiting doctor for about 1 week a month at this place. And he was still in the hospital when I came back, and he was in such bad condition that he couldn't feed himself. His hands shook so badly he couldn't hold a spoon, and it took two nurses to transfer him from the bed to the wheelchair. And he was lonesome in his room, so they would bring him. It's a small hospital, and they had the option. So they'd bring him out to the nurse's station so that he could have his meals at the nurse's station and chat with the staff. And one morning, I was fixing a nurse's headache, and he was sitting across from me. And he looked up, and he said, "Wow, I can feel that over here. What is it?" And I told him, you know, it's this thing called Reiki, in my usual little intro. I said, "Would you like a sample?" And he said, "Sure, why not?" I went over to him. It was actually the following morning when he got his sample, and his hand was shaking so badly, it was literally bouncing off the tray. And I asked him if he'd like a sample, and he said, "Sure." So I stood behind him with my hands about an inch away from his temples and just let the energy flow as he and four nurses and I continued to chat. And after about 2 minutes, one of the nurses said, "Oh, my God, look at his hands. They're not shaking anymore." And everybody got all excited, and I worked on him for maybe 10 minutes. It wasn't any more than that. And after that, they brought his meal, and he picked up a spoon and fed himself for the first time since we had all met him 2 weeks earlier. And then it was the next day, I saw him during his physical therapy appointment, and he was bopping down the hall with a walker faster than I could walk. It was just such a dramatic improvement, so his wife decided she wanted to learn. And then I went home to Colorado the next day, but the nurses had a staff meeting about a day or two after I left, and they reported this whole incident at this staff meeting, and everybody was so excited that was when the doctors decided that they would pay for the nurses to take Reiki classes for me if they wanted to learn.
And that's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it really helped give this man back so much function. I certainly don't know if it will change the length of his life, but it has dramatically changed the quality of his life. And it's something that's so easy. I'd really like to make it available in Parkinson's support groups, or at least get more information out there so that people can realize that it's an option that either the patient or a family member might want to learn to help avoid using so many drugs, which have just horrible side effects and don't give nearly as much improvement in physical ability as the Reiki did, at least for this man at this time. And, you know, it can be used in conjunction with drugs. So it's not like we're telling them, well, stop all your medicines and try our treatment. And that, I think that's what's so wonderful about Reiki in conjunction with medicine. You don't have to step on people's toes, and then you don't, you know, you may gradually decrease dosages of drugs because somebody is doing better and doesn't need them. But you don't go to the danger of saying, well, let's just stop all your meds and see what happens if we do this instead, which would be a very foolish and dangerous thing to do in many conditions. That's how I started working with Parkinson's disease.
And have you worked with any other illnesses or diseases that, you know, have you seen any great changes with using Reiki with them?
I haven't seen any disease where there wasn't a significant change. I have a friend who has two little boys who were both diagnosed with Tourette syndrome back in 96, and I met her originally because she brought her more severely afflicted child to me because she didn't want him on drugs. And he was not only an anxious, hyperactive kid, but there was this anger and this total discomfort of his own body and a sort of an agitated, uncontrolled movement that you see with kids with Tourette's. And after I worked on him, for only about a half an hour, because that's as long as he wanted to sit still at age 11, he was still an active little boy, but he looked like an active, normal little boy. And apparently that lasted for about 3 days. So his mom came to my next Reiki class, learned, and started working on the boys herself. And they did significantly better. The older one, within 2 years, was off of all meds. The younger one never required any medication. And he liked Reiki so well that he asked to learn. Well, since all he had to do was sit still in a chair for 3 minutes and receive an attunement, at age 7, he was able to receive a Reiki attunement and start working on himself. And this kid, who is now 16 or 17, is a national honor scholar, a champion in his local chess club, and has never been on medications for his disease. So, you know, another place of horrible chronic disease where we can really help people without any side effects. In the ER, we've documented on more than one occasion patients with horribly high blood pressure where it normalizes while I'm holding their hand and then goes back up when I let go. And yet if a nurse who doesn't have Reiki holds their hand, their blood pressure does not get better. So it's not just the act of holding somebody's hand. When a patient is hemorrhaging while we're running in fluids and giving blood, keeping my hands on them will often keep their blood pressure higher in a, where it would be so low that it would be dangerous otherwise. And that's another thing we've documented on several patients in the emergency room. So, you know, I don't think there's any place where Reiki is not useful.
Your whole journey with Reiki, is that one of the motivations to write Tapestry of Healing?
Absolutely. I had been sharing my healing stories with friends and with my students and in lectures for a number of years, and I just wanted to put it in writing and help introduce the general public to the possibility of including Reiki as part of their life and part of their health care. And the absolute deciding factor was when I taught a Reiki class for a deaf man. And even though we had a translator in the room, it took so long for her to translate that I couldn't share all the stories with him. So it was the next day I started writing the book, and it was originally going to be dedicated to Billy because I couldn't tell him. So that was what started it. And the second half is all the basics of energy medicine that I try to teach to my students in a first degree class that I wanted them to have in their hands, because so much of what they learn in a 10 or 12 hour workshop they forget, and I didn't want them to have to sit and take notes during the workshop. So it was a way of giving them the information to take home so they wouldn't stop using Reiki because they forgot what they had received in class.
I think it's really motivating for people to hear the stories. We might experience it when we do it, but when we're not doing it, we forget. And reading about it can be a great way to just let it sink in even further and really, you know, motivate us and help us to keep doing it. I love that you're getting people who you are doing Reiki on to learn Reiki, or their carers to do Reiki. I think that's a really important aspect of it as well.
It's so exciting for me. I think one of my problems initially was seeing a lot of Reiki practitioners who only worked as practitioners, and I believe that one of the greatest gifts of Reiki is helping to empower somebody so that they don't have to depend on me, especially someone with chronic disease. You know, you feel so robbed of yourself when you're told that you have a terminal or a serious lifelong disease. And suddenly when you have some ability in your own hands to control your well-being, it gives you your power back, and it lets you move forward not only physically but spiritually and emotionally, just to grow in all possible ways.
What would you like to see happen in the future as far as the integration of Reiki into the medical world?
I would like to see all facilities working the way I do, where Reiki is no more unusual than holding somebody's hand, where it's perfectly acceptable to be in an operating room combining major surgery and Reiki and realizing the value of the two modalities together and how each can strengthen the other. Because certainly if you're hemorrhaging, you need a surgeon too if you've been hit by a truck, you know?
Yeah.
So I would like it to be demystified to the point where people can go, oh, this is something great we can use, and not make a big deal of it and not try to turn it into a controversy, because I don't think it needs to be.
How do you think we can go about doing that?
Well, the way I do. It's a Buddhist practice, and one of the things we learn in Buddhism is that you can hit a mountain or a rock with a sledgehammer and make a little dent in it, but ultimately the rock will stay there. But if you use water and gently wash against the rock continuously, the rock will melt away. And I think what we need to do is become water, become a gentle presence that's non-threatening. And I think the best way to do it is to offer samples to the nurses and the doctors and the staff, just very humbly offer assistance. There's one large program that I'm aware of that has Reiki volunteers on 7 different floors in this one hospital, or 7 different departments, sends 3 volunteers at a time, 2 to work on patients and 1 who is available to work on the nurses when they're on break.
I want to go to that hospital.
They get so many more referrals because the staff isn't told some intellectual stuff about Reiki. They've experienced it.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's not this huge mystical thing. It's just this very gentle practice that we can all share.
It's something what is innate within us, and through that, it's not mystical at all.
I don't think it is.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for all your lovely stories. If people would like to contact you, do you have a website or any other contact details?
I do. It's tapestryofhealing.com, as if it were all one word, tapestryofhealing.com.
Fantastic.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Jerry. It's been really wonderful having you on the Reiki Show.
Thank you so much for having me.